Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. And you got to know, we are live on Facebook right now. So if you're online, hop on Facebook on our My Faith Radio Facebook page. Post your questions there. It is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We get more responses, I think, from this monthly feature than we do almost any other one. And he's so generous to give us his time. We're going to spend the first, I don't know, about 20 minutes or so talking about anxiety, adrenal fatigue, and a few things like that. We'll eventually open up the phone lines as well. Want to give priority to questions that pop up on Facebook. So here are my questions for you today before I give Dr. Troy a proper introduction and get this conversation started. Are you ready? I almost feel like you need some music underneath me in a scenic background, but here it is. I don't need it really, Matt. I'm just kidding. Do you feel tired for no reason? Do you crave salty or sweet snacks? Do you feel run down and stressed? Do you feel both wired and tired at the same time? Do you feel exhausted when you wake up in the morning? Do you rely heavily on coffee and energy drinks to keep you going? Would you say that you're not having fun anymore? Has your libido gone down, if you know what I mean? Well, if you've answered yes to any of these questions, you may have what they call adrenal fatigue. But I want you to be of good cheer, because you can do something about it. You can make choices that change the trajectory of this battle. I'm telling you, today might be that day that turns everything around. As I mentioned, it's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We're going to talk a little bit about anxiety and about adrenal surges and those kinds of things. But also, we're going to take your questions. And we've got several pages of questions we didn't even get to last month, which is usually the case every single month. A quick shout out to those live streaming. And if you're live streaming from somewhere outside the upper Midwest, let us know. Send me an email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I already know we've got friends listening in the Netherlands and Scotland and Africa, all over the country. We love you. We appreciate you so much. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And a reminder, we're live on Facebook right now as well. On My Faith Radio, go to our Faith Radio page and post your questions there. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and we are so honored to always have him with us every single month. Bless you, Dr. Troy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be back.
I always love having you. So let's talk about a verse. You know this. You've been on plenty of times to know. You came armed with a verse. Is there a verse God's been speaking to you about these days?
Yes, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change.
Talk about that.
Well, for me, what this means to me and what I see is that we all are blessed with gifts. We don't always recognize that. And so there's a couple levels to this passage for me. It's about recognizing what our gifts are, but also the perfect gift that it is, but how we, with our sin nature, actually get in the way of that gift. I'd like to talk about that in a little bit more detail later on when we're talking about stress. But it's an awareness, a self-awareness of the imperfection we have, and you have a choice at that point of going one way or the other, one self-condemnation or one just an expression of gratitude for the grace you've been given. For the difference in that righteousness versus our imperfection. And so it really, to me, speaks volumes and a lot of depth into, number one, recognizing we have a gift, but then also, what are you going to do with that gift? And I want to point out a little bit later about how that shows up in life so people can recognize that, number one, they do have a gift, but also when they get in the way of that gift, what does it look like?
Wow, that's so good. Let's just maybe unpack a little bit of that now, because you got me totally intrigued. You know, thinking about some of the ways we get in the way of our gift, of course, is self-condemnation, self-loathing. I would even say, you know, unbelief, where we're really not seeing it as a gift, so we diminish it, especially compared to someone else's gift. But also, I would say self-promotion, where you think you own the gift. You are the gift.
Yes.
And you're a gift to everybody else, and everybody should know and get in line and take a number, so to speak. But, you know, sometimes you meet people who are so defined by their gift that they can justify just about anything. So there are probably two extremes there. So talk about, you know, God's idea of stewardship for the gift. What's a nice, humble, confident perspective?
Well, that's a great point. Number one, if you don't recognize that you've been given this gift and you make it all about you, you will be humbled. I will tell you that.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of stories come. Yeah, buckle up, because it will happen. But the reality is, for me, if what you are doing is in alignment with the Word, then you're using your gift appropriately. Mm-hmm. If it's not, then again, you're going to be humbled. And so a lot of people take credit where they should not be taking credit. And the reality is, you will be blessed with more when you're able to handle more, because you're surrendering more and you're giving gratitude where it should be. God's getting the glory. And that's when you start to recognize that it's a weird kind of feeling. You've got a gift that you've been given. It's basically on loan to you, and you are meant to do it in honor of God. And when you take yourself out of the equation, then it just happens. It's like a law. It just happens.
It's amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. We say this a lot when we get into it, and we could spend a whole show talking about that.
Yes.
And maybe we have to revisit that. It sounds like we're having a few technical issues with Facebook Live. So if you're tuning in and you're wondering where we are, it's coming. But if you're online, go to our webpage, myfaithradio.com, and you can tune in online until I tell you differently if you'd like, if that's what you'd like to do. Otherwise, you can email in your questions for Dr. Troy as well, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So as I set up the show today, talking about, I thought this was so interesting that you'd say that there are times when people think that they're having anxiety attacks, but they're actually adrenal surges. And what's so scary about that is because they feel the same. So if they're having what feels like an anxiety attack and they're being treated for an anxiety attack, they're not actually treating what's going on under the surface with their adrenal glands. So maybe speak to that and maybe make the distinction for us.
Yeah, they're really two different things, but they, like you said, they feel pretty much the same. Now, if you are jumping out of an airplane, you are meant to have an adrenaline rush. That's a time when you release adrenaline and the heart races, and you expect it, so it manifests differently in the body. If you are lying down having a nap and you have the same racing heart and that same hormonal release, it's very scary. So it can feel very much like a panic attack. Now, panic attacks and anxiety occur in an area of the brain called the basal ganglia. It literally sets the idle speed for depression and anxiety. And so that area of the brain can not function properly, and there are different scenarios that set that up. That's true anxiety. An adrenaline imbalance or an adrenal gland dysfunction that releases adrenaline at inappropriate times, that's more of an adrenal problem, and that has completely different triggers. So, for example, blood sugar regulation issues and hormone issues can start to set up an adrenal problem. Life stressors can set up an adrenal problem and an anxiety problem. And the reality is they can act, you can have both. I do have some patients who have both, and one kind of feeds the other. So it's important to understand when you have anxiety, you can do different exercises, calming and relaxation exercises, prayer and meditation, surrender, and that truly helps with a true anxiety. Whereas with adrenaline rush, you want to use your muscles right away. You want to get up and start doing push-ups and squats and move your muscles, because your brain is just or your body has just released a hormone that is dilating your blood vessels to your arms and legs. So if you don't use them, that confuses the living daylights out of your brain as to what's going on. So it becomes very much a panicky situation either way. But an adrenaline rush, you know it's an adrenaline rush when you start to do physical activity and you feel better right away.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. That's so interesting. Now, we've got a couple minutes before our quarter of the hour break, but for the patient then, who, because it feels like an anxiety attack, and so they're treating it like an anxiety attack, but it's actually adrenal surge. What's the, look down the road a bit, what's the ripple effect? If I understand it right, you stop using, you know, it affects your cells, it affects your muscles, they may atrophy. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, down the road, you only have a certain amount of adrenaline, so there's kind of like a wave where it goes, and it's just a little bit dysfunctional in the beginning, and then it gets really high, and then that's when it feels like the anxiety type scenarios. And then you start to actually lose the ability to make a lot of that adrenaline and cortisol efficiently or effectively. Or the receptors that bind to it become less effective. It's kind of like insulin resistance. We can actually see the same scenario with cortisol long term. And so there are different phases to the adrenal fatigue. There is a component where we have more of an anxiousness. And then all of a sudden, when you start to become more fatigued and it's harder to get out of bed and mid-afternoon you're in that slump and all of a sudden we need caffeine for energy, that's towards the end phase. So we start to see different phases, and people a lot of times just wait for things to change. They don't do anything about it, and they think they're getting better because they're not having the anxiousness anymore, but the reality is they've just fatigued out their adrenals
that much
a little
more.
Bit more.
Yeah. And then if we let it go to another degree, I mean, there's a ripple effect to your health. If your cortisol flatlines, there's an implication to that, right, to your health.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that when we come back. The reason, you know, I opened the show with these questions: you tired for no reason, you crave salties or sweets, are you relying wholly on caffeine to get you through the day? What's the ripple effect of not paying attention to those adrenal glands fatiguing? And again, we know we've got your questions coming, and we're going to tackle as many of those as we can as well. Don't go away. And you know what? We'll open those phone lines as we try to get this Facebook thing going. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. More with Dr. Troy in a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every month we've got certain guests that we have back time and time again, like Liz Curtis Higgs for Redemption Stories, Bible Questions, Bible Answers with Dr. Ron Rhodes, and Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Today is our day with Dr. Troy. We can never get to all the questions, which we just appreciate because it means that he's really resonating with you. We're going to spend a little bit of time here talking about adrenal fatigue because so many people are walking around with a measure of adrenal fatigue and they don't even know it. And we want so much to live preventatively. You know what I mean? Not wait for the crisis to have to make major life changes. And some who go into that final stage of adrenal fatigue have to stay home and lose their job or quit their job or make major life changes. But there are adjustments that you can make now. And so let's talk about this for a moment. And I've read this several places, and you've said it as well, that there's lots of people walking around with a measure of adrenal fatigue. They don't even know it. And eventually they probably move in and out of those stages, and then they're out again because they've taken care of themselves and made some changes.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do to prevent it. And one thing I want to make very clear, a lot of times people will feel the path of adrenal fatigue, the wear and tear, the highs and lows, where they're a little more anxious and then all of a sudden they're a little tired and they don't feel right. And they'll go to the doctors and they'll read something about adrenal fatigue and say, this is me, this is what I'm feeling. And the doctors will do some lab tests and say, your adrenals are fine. And I want to just say that the current lab testing for adrenals in the medical world tests very specific things for adrenal glands, and it's usually the pathology, the diseases that they're testing for. So what they're really saying is you don't have a disease, which is good because those are life-threatening. And the reality is if we lost our adrenal glands, you would literally only be able to live for 5-7 minutes.
Wow.
That's it. That's how important they are.
Wow.
And so the medical doctors a lot of times think you're crazy because they're like, no, everything's fine with your adrenals. The reality is you're speaking two different languages right now. The doctors are just telling you don't have an autoimmune against your adrenal gland and your life is not in danger. And that's the scenario with adrenal fatigue. In functional medicine and the alternative world, they talk about adrenal fatigue, meaning that there's a system that the adrenal glands are a part of that's not quite right as far as how it's functioning. And these are the symptoms that go with it. So it's apples and oranges, two different languages. So don't be discouraged if you go to your doctor and they say, no, your adrenals are fine. That just means you don't have the disease.
And there's a saliva test, though, that
yes.
actually proves your cortisol has leveled out, flatlined, or is low. So it's not just process of elimination to diagnose even this fatigue, right?
Yeah. So the saliva test, which is gaining more and more momentum as far as credibility in the world, because we can now measure it as far and see patterns. But also now in functional medicine, we can see through other markers trends. So sodium, potassium levels. We see carbon dioxide dysfunction with blood sugar regulation issues and insulin resistance. These other markers, when you take them as a whole, can start to tell you of the adrenal scenario, the big picture of the adrenal glands. So saliva hormone, along with the other lab work, you can, and then the person's history, you get to see a lot of these changes. And we actually see some pretty significant changes physically in the body as well. I will check, and many of us will check the calves, the muscles behind the knees. A lot of people with adrenal dysfunction have knee issues because
wow.
the muscle gets really tight behind the knee, the gastroc muscle. So it's like we have tension and stress. We feel it in our traps and our neck gets tight. Well, the same thing happens a little bit more intensely behind the knee muscles. And so behind the knee itself. And so we see they're just wired. Like literally their muscles are wired. And so our body doesn't hide what's going on. When we feel high strung, we're going to find a muscle that's high strung.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So talk a bit, if you would, about preventative care. Because for that person who's maybe they're in a place now of a second or third phase or whatever, where they're exhausted, they're getting out of bed, they don't feel rested. And they don't feel like they have even the option to do anything different than what they've got for a job and a life. What should they do?
Well, this is a very loaded question. I could spend the next hour on this because there's a lot you can do. So the first step is having awareness, but I'm going to go through a little bit of what can set this up. Essentially, any type of stress can set it up. It could be mental stress, chemical stress, or physical stress. So chemical stress are things like food allergies or anything that causes digestive inflammation. It's one of the biggest triggers for adrenal stress because the constant stress on the digestive system, the inflammatory reactions, triggers the adrenal glands just like a mentally stressful event.
Wow.
So it doesn't have to be life stress.
Amazing.
So it can be food stress. It can be chemical stress. Some people lose the inability to break down aldehydes properly, so perfumes become a stressor, a chemical stressor. That will also go to the stress load, if you will. And a lot of times there are hidden mental stressors as well. We can have a stressful day and recognize it quite easily. At the beginning of the segment, we talked about James 1:17, and I talked about how we all have gifts. And so the gifts for us are things we do that come naturally to us that we don't consider them to be a lot of work. But the reality is we can start to overdo or overuse those strengths, not keep them in balance, and it becomes somewhat of a problem for us. So, for example, if you're a good-natured person and one of your gifts is just being supportive of others, your supporting-type personality, if you support and support and support, you can over-support to the point where you become self-sacrificing.
Which is a major stress.
It's a major stress on your system. Mm-hmm. So your gift is one of support. You want to be there for others. But if you do not recognize or have self-awareness of what's going on in the body, you can over-support. These people become people pleasers. They have a hard time saying no because they don't want to let people down because they get value from helping others. So our strength is supporting. The weakness is self-sacrificing or inability to say no. If my strength is confidence and confidence is done over and over and over, if it gets too ramped up and overused, it becomes arrogance. And so our strength can be something overdone and start to be perceived as our weakness by ourselves or other people. And then we can buy into the fact that we never had a strength in the first place.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Yeah, you think about the ripple effect even with the confident thing, and it goes to suddenly believing your own press. You know, there are some key, very public leaders, Christian leaders, who fell, who were leading, and then they fell. And what one of them said, I believe my own press, because he was so popular and in that moment of weakness made choices that were beneath him. And there is a ripple effect. And then you want a stressor? I mean, talk about a stressor on family and career and everything.
Yeah, you like we said earlier, you will be humbled at a certain point if you let your gifts get the best of you. And so that's why you give the glory to God. You don't, it's not yours.
You don't own it.
Come up with it. You don't own it.
Yeah.
And so that identifying those stressors, and you have to recognize the gift you've been given, do your best with it, but set the boundaries to help set it up so that you are okay. If you're a detailed analytical person and you analyze, just see the details that no one else can see, that's great, until the point where you get over-analytical, where you're into the analysis paralysis mode and you're paralyzed by life. Mm. You can't move forward. So all of our strengths become our weaknesses when we lose that awareness, or we don't surrender to God in the moment when we get to a point where we have to do that, because we will eventually be taught a lesson if we don't give that away.
Yeah. I mean, it's the consequence. What you sow is what you grow. And you think about how, you know, the Bible talks about God works all things together for the good. He intends for a harmony and a balance. And we're the ones who take it and make it out of whack, you know?
Yeah.
And there's always a consequence. But don't you feel in some ways those are like the rumble strips? And if we can listen to early signs, maybe we're bumping up against things in relationships or bumping up against things in our health. I mean, he helps us correct, but I just don't think we're always so teachable and quick to respond.
That's 100% correct. And how this affects the adrenal glands is when we get that mental, when our daily routine gets into a place where we're having daily mental triggers, that adds up to quite a significant impact. And the reality is, if you want to help your adrenal glands, you, number one, improve that mental mindset. Have awareness of what's going on with your body and make some shifts. It's not that you have to change who you are. You just have to reel in your strength a little bit. It's a lot easier to do. And it's simply by surrendering, having gratitude for the gift and giving it to God and recognizing it's not yours. And that starts to shift a change of your mental state, which then leads to less food choices that are bad for you. Because when we're in stress, we crave generally the bad stuff, sugar and salt.
We crave what's bad for us. So maybe you don't change who you are, you just change how you are.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know what I mean? How we go about things in our lives. We got a hard break coming up here, and I see Facebook Live, Kelsey said, can you explain the link between adrenals and the thyroid gland? We'll cover that on the other side.
Love that question.
Yeah, isn't that great? And Marilyn from Facebook says, what's the difference between godly sorrow and depression? Another fantastic question. But one question we're going to get to before we get to those, if you guys don't mind, on the other side, is just this preventative care. If you're in that place of utter fatigue, or you don't want to be, I thought it was so interesting as I've been reading on it, you know, about do things that you look forward to. Stop your striving and know that He is God. Take an Epsom salt bath. I mean, there's things that actually are so good for your soul, and I don't know why we feel guilty, but that's stewardship, isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. All right, so now we're going to handle some of these Facebook questions, and we'll open the phone lines as well if you want to call in with your question. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, and Kelsey and Marilyn, we're going to get to your questions on the other side as well. This is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We welcome your questions, and I got pages of them here, too, in case you don't call, so I'm not worried, but I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. I could let that song just go and go. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Always so honored to have him in studio with us. And we're doing it Facebook Live. So if you're on your smartphone or on your computer, hello. I'm telling you, I said I normally make faces when I'm in the studio. So I'm trying to trying to be good. Anyway, I want you to go onto our Facebook page, Faith Radio, and post your questions if you've got them there. We're going to get to Kelsey's question. She's got a great one. Can you explain the link between adrenals and the thyroid gland? And then Marilyn asks about godly sorrow versus grief. And Gail asks about hair loss. So we're going to tackle those here in just a moment. But we're just wrapping up a conversation, maybe not wrapping it up. I mean, we'll probably return to it again. But talking about adrenal fatigue and preventative care, and you were saying before the break how even our gifts can contribute to stressors when they're done wrong, when we manage them wrong. So maybe just leave us with a few just pieces of advice of really good things we can do for ourselves that we may feel even guilty about, but actually it's good stewardship when it comes to our health.
Yeah, so the bullet point list would be to have awareness and manage the stress that we're creating ourselves with our gifts and our lifestyle, number one. Number two, manage your schedule, because we are in a go, go, go world right now, and that is a big part for adrenal stress, because when we're constantly setting ourselves up to feel like we're falling short, that is a stressful scenario.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then from a diet point of view, avoiding actual food allergens, making sure your blood sugar is balanced, because insulin and cortisol is released by the adrenal glands. They're opposing hormones. And then we'll get into the thyroid part of it. But managing your blood sugar is a big component for the actual adrenal glands. And then we need a right amount of protein for our adrenal glands. When we're in severe adrenal fatigue, we need salt and protein. Those are the things that help our adrenals start to get back up, give us life again. And so addressing the mental daily stressors, the diet inflammation, and if there's something else like an infection or bowel infection or teeth infection, that can actually set up the adrenals too. But make sure there's no hidden infections or dysbiosis. That inflammation, managing our hormone with thyroids, and then making sure we're sleeping. One of the things that we don't do enough is rest. And so prayer, meditation, calming our mind, getting good, deep, quality sleep, that's restorative for the adrenal glands. And so those are simple things. Now, depending on what stage you're in, you can also add exercise to it. Now, if you're in a stage three, exercise might be literally just doing deep breathing because you're so chronically fatigued. But if you're
if you're in that stage and you do extreme exercising, you're doing more harm than good.
Doing more harm than good because you don't have the fuel. It's like trying to run your car, drive it without any gas in the tank. So you got to do the Fred Flintstone thing and just use the legs.
Then you wreck your feet.
But if you're in stage one, weightlifting is excellent for it. Mm. So depending on what stage you're in, if you exercise and you feel more fatigued afterwards, that's another sign that you're probably in stage two or end stage two or early stage three.
And again, you know, some have said, and I've read this online, that there's stage one, two, three, four. But you say there's actually three stages. Stage one, or, you know, there's a baseline of being healthy.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So three is what people would consider four.
Yes,
right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So there's three levels of dysfunction, and four, you can make it into four, you can make it into three. But the bottom line is if you can't get out of bed, you've got chronic fatigue. That's the end stage adrenal fatigue.
Oh,
that's where it ultimately ends up.
Okay. So let's, I'm going to grab Marilyn just because she's been holding for a little bit, but I want to come back to the salt, because one of the pieces of advice is to drink salt water. I want you to talk about that. And then the protein piece as well. But Marilyn's been holding, and I want to honor that. Hey, Marilyn, you're on the air. How are you today? Hello? Come on.
Hello.
There she
Hello.
Is. How are you today?
This is for my question, because you had another Marilyn you were talking about.
Yes, well, we got you on the air on the phone, and I'm not sure who's talking behind the scene there. Maybe they can give them a little zip there. And go ahead and ask your question.
Well, my question is that I've had this funny cough for a year, and it just it's just always with me. It's just like a tickle in my throat. Hmm. And then I can't tell if it's my sinuses or my digestive tract, but it never leaves me. I had severe pneumonia last year because of it. Hmm. I should say March of this year, I guess. And I really can't put a finger on it. I have been to a pulmonary doctor. I've been to a gastroenterostomy doctor, and I've been to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And the cough seems to be getting better, but I still have a cough.
Hmm.
And I I'm not sure. And I do have colitis. That's already been determined. So I don't know if that's on my stomach or my head or what's going on with me. Mm. Do you think maybe you have an answer for me?
Well, definitely. Generally speaking, I'm going to say you're right. It's in most likely in the digestive system and the head at this point. So the reality is when you have a tickle that's not going away, it's either something's actually in the lining of the throat itself, or the nerves that fire to the muscles of the throat are not helping that area enough. Whenever you have an infection or you have a chronic condition like colitis, that generally means that there's an imbalance. And whenever we have an imbalance, chemically, mentally, or physically, there's a consequence to that. Your digestive system, when it gets inflamed, the lining of the digestive tract starts off when you're just a baby as one cell, and it differentiates up and becomes your sinuses, and down and becomes the lining of your digestive tract. So you can start to get mucosal swelling just from levels of inflammation. Now, with colitis in particular, there can be bad bacteria. So a lot of times when they treat pneumonia, they'll give you antibiotics for that, and it helps with the ammonia, but it also will kill off a lot of the beneficial bacteria. So it's important to make sure you have enough of the good bacteria. When we see those infections, they can also irritate the muscles of the upper digestive system, which then shifts us things physically. And so I'll give you an example. A lot of functional doctors will treat the bowel for this, and it will help improve it. So fixing the colitis will help also with that tickle. But a lot of times there's an actual physical imbalance with the neck, head, and jaw area after infection like that. And either the sinuses don't drain or you don't get proper immune support for that area. So my two cents is getting the colitis addressed, which, by the way, with colitis, almost always there's a bacterial imbalance and there's some stressors involved that have to be dealt with. Our area of the brain that deals with stress really impacts the integrity of our intestinal tract. Many people who have acute stress will get ulcers, which is basically holes in the lining of the intestinal tract. But if you have chronic stressors that are just under the surface, the same thing will happen. It'll just be not as obvious. You don't get the blood in the stool and stuff like that. So for that scenario, there's definitively going to be a need to address the colitis with good bacteria, avoidance of the food allergies, and managing the stressors, and then most likely a physical imbalance in the head, neck, and jaw area. And a functional doctor will help with that quite a bit, and a chiropractor will have tremendous success with the actual head, neck, and jaw component.
Mm. Marilyn, thank you so much for that call. So let's grab Kelsey's question from Facebook. Can you explain the link between adrenals and the thyroid gland?
Yeah, this is a great question because there's so much thyroid dysfunction, and this is a two-way street. So thyroid dysfunction can set up and be one of the triggers for adrenal fatigue, and adrenal fatigue can set up thyroid disorders. So the adrenal gland is very interesting. It has two opposing hormones that it affects. Number one, the cortisol is opposite to the insulin. So it can affect your blood sugar, and your blood sugar regulation can affect the adrenals. Now, the other side of it is the thyroid hormone, which is part of our metabolism. So they're also opposing glands. So when the adrenals go high, thyroid will go low. Mm. So the weird thing is you can actually have anxiety where you feel like an adrenal anxiousness where you can't shut off, but you're actually suppressing your metabolism. So these people feel wired and tired. So you don't have a metabolism. You've got basically your brain saying, because of the adrenaline, saying go, 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 and there's no thyroid hormone at the level of the cell, so you can't turn the cell on. So you're sitting there on the couch saying go, 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 and your body's like, heck no.
Yeah, ain't going to do it. And this is why some struggle with weight loss, right?
Yeah, you gain weight. So mm-hmm. eventually in the beginning, a lot of people like it because they're anxious or they feel that.
Living on adrenaline.
And so they can manage their weight. But then eventually that lifestyle stops working and they slowly gain a couple pounds and a couple more. And what they've effectively done is set up a hypothyroid state, which affects hair. Your hair, you start to lose hair. It becomes more coarse. You gain weight, and depression can start to come in with that constipation as well. So if your thyroid hormone starts to drop, you go through this stage of the hyperadrenal into hypothyroid. And all of a sudden, you now have deficiencies in both.
Wow.
Because you don't have a good functioning adrenal gland because you're out and you have low thyroid, and so you have low metabolism, and your brain is confused. So we see that a lot. It's called secondary hypothyroidism, where the adrenal glands help set that up.
So what should they do? What should a person do in that situation?
Well, in that situation, you do need to support the thyroid. So iodine, we become very deficient in iodine. So iodine becomes very, very important. And you have to be aware of the adrenal glands. So you fix the adrenal glands. Oftentimes, you focus on resetting your lifestyle. You start to work out very, very slowly but consistently. Literally 10 minutes a day of some core exercises can start to bring that back up.
Wow.
You supplement to support yourself with extra iodine for the thyroid. And sometimes people need thyroid nutrition, specific thyroid nutrition, or even thyroid medication to start to get their thyroid functioning better. But what happens is if you get going too high with the thyroid, it can start to affect the adrenal. So you got to pay attention to both. So the proper sleep and diet and lifestyle, and you have to keep things in check. You've got to learn from your past, because if you're type A and you've been busy and you set up a hectic schedule and then you crash so you can't do that schedule, as you start feeling better, don't fill the schedule. And that's easy to say because I'm one of those guys that fills the schedule.
Exactly.
That's what I do. So
yeah.
It's not, you know, I feel a little bit like a hypocrite saying it, but I do
still
pay attention.
Advice.
And it's still good advice.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do as I say, not as I do.
But the thing is, we think we can run this rat race. We think we can let our thoughts go rogue. We think we can let our anxieties just go untamed without consequence. And you and I were talking during the break that we are a culture that's treating symptoms. You know, I'm tired. I'm going to have more caffeine. Well, now it's an espresso. Well, now it's an energy drink. But that's not without consequence. And someone can feel really prideful or proud of their little stint when they're operating on all cylinders with no sleep. But it's not sustainable. And the kind of crash you're going to have is going to take you backwards, right? So much more than you ever wanted to.
Yes,
right.
Exactly right. And and so really the reality is if you keep aware of what's happening, you can manage that a lot better and a lot sooner. And the level of crash is completely on par with the level of ignorance you are placing for towards your own body. Mm. If you just ignore any awareness of what's going on, that just leads to a larger crash.
Wow. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a bit about the salt water thing, because maybe iodine is kind of connected, right? Because there's iodine
and salt. Yeah, and salt, yeah. For
yeah.
The thyroid.
Okay.
No,
hate to confront you on live radio, but you're wrong. And protein, we're going to talk about that. And let's see here. There was another question, or several that we're going to get to, about restless leg syndrome. A couple others as well. Keep those questions coming on Facebook. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise and is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Second hour, I think, is when we'll open up those phone lines. We've got plenty to talk about now. We'll be back in a moment. That song, too. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every single month, we have Dr. Troy in studio to answer your questions. And he operates from this mindset that I just love, that this health triad, that you know, there's a physical, there's a chemical, and there's an emotional component to what ails us. And so if you're sick physically, it does affect you chemically, and it does affect you emotionally. And if you're not addressing all of these pieces, you'll never fully enjoy the full health that God has. And another reason that we have Troy on is really because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we live in a culture, as we've talked during the break, Dr. Troy, of just the rat race culture, treating symptoms. And otherwise, I'm tired, I'm going to have an energy drink, you know? And we medicate, self-medicate to a degree that we're not treating the core issue. And that isn't without consequence. Eventually, we crash and burn. And if we're willing to kind of go the distance and unwrap and unlayer these things, we can actually enjoy a health that is what God intended from the beginning.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Hmm. And the reality is, for me too, I've recognized being a Christian, I've recognized that we all have this hole in us, and it's only something that Jesus can fill. And people who don't know Jesus, they a lot of times go to all of these things, and they'll start there first. And so that's a big part. That is the major first step. But for Christians who know Jesus, and number one, just because we know Jesus doesn't mean that we are allowing him to fill that hole. We have to check in with prayer. We have to be in the Word and have that be a process within us. Now, having said that, there are things you can do on top of that to help with the physical condition that we're here to work on, as you will. And so both of those things are there. Some people will simply find Jesus and the hole is just filled and they're good. Mm. We don't have to do anything else. And those are the, not that I'm lazy, but those are the ones.
Be that
yes,
person.
I know. That's exactly right.
Oh, to be like you.
Yes. But the reality is we also have these physical things that we have to address with our diet or to help bring up our function again. I mean, the reality is if we just take oxygen away from us, then there's a consequence to that.
Mm.
And so the same thing is true when we get our lifestyle all out of balance. So having Jesus be at the center of our relationship, no matter if that's with ourself and with our spouse or with other people, that's step number one. Number two is filling all the other little holes that are part of our being human, our makeup. And that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. And we're spending this first hour talking about adrenal fatigue. And we will open those phone lines up second hour. I want you to know we are on Facebook Live. So if you want to get an inside look at the studio and see if Matt's having a bad hair day, he's not going to be on the video. But trust me, he is. No, I'm totally kidding, Matt. But we're talking adrenal. I'm totally teasing. I'm going to get an email for that one. Totally teasing him. But we're talking about adrenal fatigue. And I thought it was so interesting. Suggestion to drink salt water and why that matters. And is Himalayan salt different? I don't know. I read something about that too. So
yeah, apparently it is because of the quality of the salt.
Okay.
And so the reality is that if we can absorb something better, there's harsher forms of things, of iron, of sodium chloride. But when it comes to our adrenal glands, sodium and potassium are very, very important. And when it comes to our energy of our cells, we have these things called sodium-potassium pumps. And we pump in sodium and pump out potassium. And so we need both. But the reality is when your adrenals are completely fatigued, one of the reasons why you crave salt is because of the need for that salt.
Mm.
And same thing with the sugar. We become more resistant as far as getting the sugar into our cells. Now, you do have to be careful in both scenarios because if you stay in the adrenal fatigue state but you eat all the salt, that will have an eventual effect on your gallbladder, gallstones, and potential kidney stones. So you have to be very sensitive of that. If you stay in the adrenal state and just consume a bunch of sugar, it'll turn to insulin resistance, prediabetes, and eventually diabetes.
Wow. So
there
how do you know?
Well, blood work is one way. You have to continually be doing the blood work. Unfortunately, when it comes to gallstones or kidney stones, it's usually an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so we usually have a gallbladder attack or a kidney stone attack. And that's usually what has people kind of wake up and say, okay, something's not right here.
So the suggestion, I read too much. Anyway, the suggestion was to drink a bottle or a glass of salt water in the morning if you're in this, you know, in this latter stage of adrenal fatigue. How long should you only do that for a short time?
Yeah, short period of time. So it depends on the individual. You'll actually feel more energy. So generally speaking with my patients, we see 4 to 6 weeks is the majority, 3 months max.
Hmm.
That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
Okay. And is low blood pressure associated oftentimes with adrenal fatigue?
Yeah, it can be. And so a lot of times they tell you if you have high blood pressure to avoid salt. Low blood pressure, when you've lost the ability to actually keep your salt or exchange it through the kidneys, then we start to see low blood pressure start to happen. And so there's a hormone, too, with the adrenal glands is related to it. It's called antidiuretic hormone. So we see changes with our ability to hang on to water and salt. And so salt will actually, if salt goes into your cell, it's one of those things where water will follow it. So it's the law of osmosis. So the healthier we are, the more the water is going into our cells. It's kind of like the difference between a grape and a raisin. My great-grandmother, when she was alive, lived to be just under 100 years old. She was like a raisin. My daughter, when she was born, was like a grape.
Wow.
And so as we age, we lose the ability to hang on to the water. And the sodium is a big part of that.
Boy. Okay. And then the protein. When you say they should, protein's very helpful. How much protein? How often during the day?
A lot.
Yeah?
I know that's a nice specific.
Yeah, perfect. I know exactly what to do.
At the bare minimum, take the palm of your hand and that palm right there, basically the size of protein, if you have 3 servings of that a day, that's the minimum. And you can even double up on that. And the protein is something that gets broken down into amino acids, and it helps quite a bit with the recovery of the adrenal glands. And one of the things is when you burn out of cortisol, when you flatline with cortisol, a lot of people think of cortisol as a bad thing because when you have too much of it, you start to store fat around your organs and you get that belly fat. Well, when you don't have any cortisol, cortisol is the main anti-inflammatory for your brain and your body. Cortisone shots are basically cortisol. So when an athlete injures himself and gets a cortisone shot, or you have inflammation or a back injury and they inject cortisol or cortisone, that's essentially the same thing. So when we lose that, we lose our ability to have natural anti-inflammatory. And when you lose your anti-inflammatory protection for the brain, watch out, because all kinds of things can start to happen. When your brain is not protected with cortisol, we can start to see all kinds of different manifestations from that.
Like what?
Well, we could have have you ever had a song stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it, the perseveration? That can definitely become something, but it happens with over and over, just a natural conversation. We can see complete breakdown of your digestive system in a very short period of time. It can mimic a concussion. We can see even things like seizure disorders, hallucinations, all kinds of different. It depends on what area of the brain is the weakest at the time, but it can manifest with like a conflict seeking versus conflict avoidance. You'll see people who have strokes
crazy.
Completely change their personality, and it's that type, same type of scenario. We had a patient once who had a severe gluten sensitivity and came in with a what's called maladie debarkment, basically felt like they were on a boat all the time. And we pulled gluten out of their diet, and that completely improved because the level of inflammation went down. So for her, it was affecting the vestibular system, the area of the brain that where you can tell where your body parts are in the space around you. To lose that, all of a sudden your world starts to shift, and we get vertigo and different sensations. And the reality is when your brain is not functioning properly, you lose the ability to understand your environment around you. So you may have social challenges, but just that unsteadiness, and anything that leads to physical unsteadiness. If you've ever had something where you feel like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you in your life, that feeling of kind of free-falling in life, not having that stability, that's what it can feel like with the brain, because your reality is no longer what it was. And that feels, that uncertainty, it really, really will test your faith.
So when the cortisol goes down, the anti-inflammatory protection goes down as well. And this is the extreme extent of what could happen brain-wise. But I would imagine it also stirs up your weak areas. If you've got an injury, if you've got an area that battle, where you battle inflammation, that suddenly would rear its head, right?
Yeah. So if that area deals with speech or with sleep or with fine motor movements, we start to see people, sometimes they're just slowing, their movements slow, and we start to rely on our deeper centers of the brain, which are just more animalistic almost, like just different.
Survival maybe?
Yeah, exactly. So we end up in a fight or flight state. And so high anxiety, high panic, people will come in, and there occasionally we'll get people come in, and we know right away they're in this state, because I would sit there and listen to what's going on, and they will talk about their story for 6 hours straight about what's happening in their life, have no awareness of the fact that there's 29 people waiting in the waiting room or something like that, and that there's anything else going around them in their life. And so they have a lot of challenges with life. because they lose their friends and their
Yeah, the
family.
Ripple effect. The there ripple it is effect. Again. Wow, this hour just went by. We've got questions that have come in on Facebook Live, and the phone lines are now open. Coming up for hour two, we're just going to branch out now and talk about all kinds of things. We're going to talk about what you want to talk about. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You can email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment.